Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We come with ears that are open, hearts that are ready to receive your truths. Lord, we thank you for all the revelation, for answers to questions and things that we've been needing in our lives. We believe that we'll receive that today. And as we receive, Lord, we'll purpose in our heart to follow and to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I got some... okay, the title today is Star Trek Faith. don't look at me that way. No, I'm not. I don't go to the conventions and things like that. But I'm just saying. But look, Proverbs chapter 4. And it says this, the path, verse 18, the path of the just, that's those who believe in Christ, is as the shining light that shines, shineth, more and more into the perfect day, right? Or onto the day of completion. Now, interestingly, it says the path of the just, it shines brighter and brighter. Now, you know, if you ever went somewhere, and I know we have our, you know, you have your cell phones, people have their cell phones, you have a flashlight on it, right? But when you're shining the light on your path, is the light in front of you or behind you?
In front, right?
Like if I put on my light and I went like this, and the light was behind me, you'd be, oh, what's he doing, right? He's shining the light behind him. He can't see where he's going. So here, it says that the light of the righteous, it shines brighter and brighter. That means the more you follow that path, the brighter the light becomes, mm-hmm. right? The increase of light in your life. So if the Lord was talking to you about doing something, right? And as you follow him, you'll get more direction. You'll get more light. You'll get more understanding. You'll get more provision. You'll receive. You'll increase, right? If we turn off the path, what's off the path? It'd be decrease or the opposite of light, right? You get less direction, less knowledge, less provision. Why? Because here it says that if you follow his plan, his path, that it becomes brighter for you. And if you don't, what would the opposite be? It won't, right? But one of the things I was looking at, if you know, God is a God of increase. Amen?
Amen.
You know, he's not a God of decrease. He's a God of increase. And so, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes you start thinking about something, think, oh, I never thought of that before. And then if you start thinking it, if God's a God of increase, that's what he is. Mm-hmm. And as you follow him, light, you get more light. You get more direction. You're increasing, not just in the area of money, right? But all around, in your relationships, in health, in your possessions, in your prosperity, socially, emotionally, he's a God of increase. But if I'm not increasing, and I know I'm not increasing, what does that mean?
Not getting light.
I'm not getting light, but something else. Mm-hmm. I'm not following his path.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because if I was following his path, what would be happening? I'd be increasing.
Right.
And when we talk about his path, we're talking about, too, his word.
Yeah.
He said, his word is a light unto my path, right? A lamp unto my path and a light unto the way I go, unto my direction.
Right.
So the more word I get, there'd be more knowledge I get, the more understanding I have, the brighter my path becomes. Mm-hmm. The more increase I will experience. Mm-hmm. I was telling Katie and I were driving, and I saw this sign. It said, don't worry, God's got it. I'm like, no, he don't. You better be worrying. Let me qualify. If you think God's got everything under control in your life,
and
you think, well, this is my life is a mess, it must be God's fault.
Oh, no.
Don't worry about it. Just let God do what he do. Well, if you look at this verse, maybe it's not just like it should be because you're not following the path that he has. And if I don't recognize that, if I don't put that together, maybe me obeying him is linked to me increasing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Have you ever done what you wanted to do? And you say, that didn't work out.
Right.
I should have listened to my parents. I should have listened to the Lord. I should have listened to whatever. Whoever, right? But if you just kept on and you kind of kept going your own way, you thought, you know, this is going to get better because it's my way. I ain't backing off. What's going to happen? It's not getting better. It's decreasing, right? If it keeps decreasing, at some point you need to realize what? I'm on the wrong road. Amen? If you kept buying a certain stock and the price kept going down, at some point you say, I think I've invested enough. Now I have to wait for it to come back up if it's going to come back up, right? So in our lives, sometimes if we're not getting the increase, one of the first areas we look at, am I traveling or am I getting enough light? Is my path I'm on his path that he set for me?
Mm.
Or is it my path?
Mm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because he's a God of increase. So increase is, it's mixed with, it's mixed with his blessing. I'm looking at, you don't have to turn there, you can just write it down if you want, but Psalms 115. It says, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children.
That's good.
So increase, you know, even as a natural parent, you want you to increase or decrease?
Increase.
You know, they eat more as they get older. You ever notice that, parents? You know, as a kid? You know, you start off on baby food, just a little 3-4 ounce jar. And soon they're eating 3-4 pounds. You're like, whoa, you went from 3-4 ounces to 3-4 pounds. But you kind of accept that because you what? They're growing.
Right.
They're growing. And so they're increasing because they're growing. Well, as you grow in the Lord, you are also what? Increasing in him.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So things that grow consume, right?
Amen.
And so the Lord knows as you walk in the light that you have, he gives you more light because you need what? More light to walk and to continue to keep going further. And he, along the way, he increases you. But look at this. This Genesis 26. Look at verses 12. We'll look at verse 12 and 13. Genesis, I'm getting to the point of the Star Trek faith. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten. Look at Genesis 26. And we'll look at verse 12. All right, Genesis 26. Actually, I came across this because I thought, you know, sometimes things happen in our lives and we don't really know how to identify or change or adapt. And we know there's a problem, but we don't know what we're doing that's causing it, right? So, or we don't know sometimes what we're doing that's good, so we stop doing it inadvertently and we don't mean to. But look at, the Bible gives us some information. It says, verse 12, Isaac sowed in the land, and he reaped the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, this was talking about there was a famine in Egypt, right? Or the land that he was in. And then it said, the man began to prosper, and he continued to prosper, prospering, until he became very prosperous. Mm. And we know who was the one prospering him. It was the Lord, right? And there was a famine in the land. That means there was tough times. And Isaac sowed in the land where he was. And it says that the Lord prospered him. Because he was going to leave, right? He says, I'm out of here. And the Lord said, no, just stay there and sow. Hmm. And so he did. He obeyed what the Lord told him to do. And because he did, what happened? He increased. You never see the Lord prospered him and he lost everything. You never see that in Scripture.
Right.
But as he walked in the light that he had, what happened? He increased.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So as we move forward in the light that we have from the Lord will bless us and he will increase us. But notice his increase wasn't immediate. It said, and the Lord increased him. through time. He began to what? Prosper.
Mm.
It wasn't like a jackpot, a lottery ticket, or something of that nature. It's like it was just started to come in, till things turned around, it started to do better.
Mm.
Amen. He can increase your relationships to where instead of throwing things at each other, you just stop throwing things at each other. You know, your loved ones, you quit throwing things at them. And they quit throwing things at you. That's increase. You're better. Right? Pretty soon, you start to help each other. And in a year, you think, I'm embarrassed I ever acted that way. Right?
Yeah.
So, when God's beginning to increase, one big thing about increase is to stop decreasing. When you can stop something from going a certain direction, you know, if someone's like, we use money. Someone said, I go in the hole $100 every month. And I can see in 10 years, this is going to be a problem. But if you can cut it just to $50, now you've cut that in half. And then if you get it to $25 a month, now you're doing really good. And pretty soon, if you just get it even, you think, well, I'm even. I broke even. Now what happens? Now you start the other way. Well, I'm making $5 a month. And that's not much. Don't despise it. Because it's not 100 in the hole.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
So you start to increase. And the Lord will show you more and more how to get from where you are to where you what, want to be.
Amen.
Because he said what? I know my plans for you.
Yes.
They're good plans.
Yes.
Now we got to walk in his plan and not what? In our plan.
Yeah.
Amen. So Jeremiah 7. Look at this. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 23. By purpose, what I want to discuss or identify today is in our lives, if we recognize, if we can identify one thing that's hindering our increase, right, and we can eliminate it, then that'll start us in the direction of which way we want to go. You know, instead of looking at all the things that are wrong, amen?
Yeah.
Just plug one hole at a time.
Yeah.
You have like 10 things wrong with you or your car, whatever, you can't. If you just sit there and go, man, my car is all messed up. Everything is wrong about it. Well, okay. But if you just sit there and think about all the wrong, you'll never take steps to try to correct it, any of them. But if you start with something simple, say, okay, what's one thing I need? I only have 3 tires. Okay, so let me start. I just have to get the 4th tire. I can just believe God for 1 more tire. Now I'm making progress, right?
Amen.
That's why you just start like that. It's not real hard. But sometimes the enemy tries to remind us of things and bring all this extra baggage, and we get distracted.
Yeah.
And then we don't do anything. We become dismayed. And that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Right? So God wants us to take steps forward to increase.
Yeah.
The enemy wants you to stay stationary or sink what? Backwards.
Yeah.
Look at Jeremiah 7. Here's what he said. Verse 23. He says, now this is the Lord. He says, but the thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and you will walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be what? Well with you. So God said, you walk in all my ways. Some translation says, go forward in what I've told you to do. Now the classic example, I know, we know the story of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, right?
Yeah.
And God brought them out of Egypt, which was a type of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They were slaves. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything,
mm-hmm.
right? Can you imagine? They're happy about their generation. You know, like, my great ancestors was a king, and mine was a queen, and I was this, and I was that. God's like, mine was a slave. Mine too, and mine too. We were all slaves, and my great-grandfather was a slave, and his great-great-great-grandfather was a slave. What a heritage we have. Right? But that's what they were. They were all slaves. And then God brings them out.
Yes.
He brings them out. So what are they now? They're no longer slaves.
That's right.
They're free.
Amen.
And he tells them, what does he tell them specifically? He says, I'm giving you this new land. Now go conquer it. Go do this. This is a land that's rich. And he says, don't look back. Mm. Anybody in here ever look back at something?
Yeah.
And you know, when I read that story, I think, how could they look back?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you people? Yeah. You got this promised land, and all you're doing is what? Looking back. Why are you looking back? And yet, not realizing we can have that same concept of looking back in our past as to why we can't achieve the things that God has put in our heart for the future.
That's good.
Right? Yeah. Now here comes Star Trek. You ready?
Yeah.
What is the mission of Star Trek?
To go.
To go where?
To other galaxies.
To boldly
go
where no
man has gone before.
Yeah.
Now think about it. Exodus, leaving Egypt, right? God told them, you're leaving, I'm taking you out. And he didn't take them out broke or anything.
No, he didn't.
When they followed God's plan, what happened? He prospered.
Yes.
They all got healed.
Yeah.
They got silver and gold.
Yeah.
They were all well. Their clothes didn't wear out. Nothing. They're just following him.
That's right.
He said, I'll go. I'm going to take you where you've never been. Right? Go boldly where you've never been before.
Yeah.
See, they didn't have Star Trek. We got Star Trek. We could go back and look at that. To boldly go where no one has gone before. Now, here's the problem. That's the vision, the dream God has. And he says to them, man, I got you set up so nice. Let's go. And as they're going, they start, what? Looking back.
Mm.
Because they encounter some obstacle or something happens. And when they start to look back, let me say this. When you start looking at something, how many of you ever went out window shopping and bought stuff you never wanted? Well, guys don't usually window. They just go car looking, you know. But when you start looking at something, you kind of start to long for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you want it.
Yeah.
Or you try to, oh, that would have been so good. That would have been so nice. Right?
Yeah.
But the reality is, when you start looking at something, you start longing for it. And when they started looking at their past, well, let's go look. I'll show you what they said. This is what they said. Numbers. Look at Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11. And this, we'll look at verse 4. We'll start with verse
4.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with, you could start with a lot of verses. But verse 4 says, the mixed multitudes that came out among them, they started to lust. And the children of Israel wept, and they said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Don't you remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely? The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all. There's nothing besides this manna before our eyes.
Wow.
Right? Now you would think these slaves were eating at the finest restaurants in Egypt. But remember the bread? We had bread, crumbs. We forgot the crumbs, moldy, rotten, you know, bread. We had some onions. And we had garlic, we had fish, rotting fish, you know, things. These slaves weren't fed the best food.
No.
But now in their mind, what are they thinking? They start to complain and they start to look behind them. Like, remember how good we had it? Even though it wasn't so good.
Huh.
You understand? It wasn't that good. And yet, they're in a land where the grapes are huge.
Wow.
I mean, much better than what God took them out of.
Yeah.
And they could be free.
Mm.
And then they, well, at least we'd be alive if we were slaves. We could be alive and we'd have garlic. That's good for close call, you know, close communication among people. Everyone would sit around and breathe garlic on each other, right? But if we had garlic and we had onions and we had some fish and we were slaves, those were the good old days, man. That's when we were really living.
Wow.
And the Lord's like, look at what I took you out of. People were dying.
Yes.
You worked from sunrise to sunset.
Yeah.
Hard labor. Every day.
Wow.
You had nothing. And I bring you out and I give you good stuff. I give you nice food. They give you their money, their clothes. I defeated them. You took them out.
Yes.
And you don't have to worry about them anymore. And now you're longing to go back?
Wow.
To that? Mm. Why? There's no increase in your longing to go back. For us, when we long for the past, you know, like, oh, if I would have only done that, it's a lack of faith in the plan of God that He has for our future.
Yes.
You understand, when I'm looking backwards and I'm wishing that was back there, just you doing just what they did. That's what the children of Israel did. Oh, those onions, man, those were some good onions. And he's like, what are you talking? I'm giving you this whole land, and it's going to be yours. Can't you believe in my plan? See, when you start longing for the past, you're not embracing the future. And worse, you can't increase because you're not walking in light. You understand? When you're not looking ahead at the things God has planned for you and putting your faith in that, you're not receiving light. It's cut off. Because you're not what? Looking ahead. Looking forward. You're longing for what's behind, so you can't receive the light, which is associated with what? Increase in your life, because you're looking backwards.
Yeah.
If you quit looking backwards and you look ahead, you can receive. You'll increase.
Yeah.
Now, if we're going to really be honest, people go, well, you just, you know, God might be using that. No, He ain't using nothing to restrict you or to keep you down. If we're honest, right? I'll just use me as an example. Say I'm having a hard time because I'm looking in the past. And we go, that person wouldn't have done that to me. I'd be much further along the line. You know the truth is? You'd be much further along the line, or I would be much further along the line if I quit looking back.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
I'm receiving light. I'm receiving knowledge. I'm receiving direction in the future. And he says what? My path becomes what? Brighter and brighter.
That's right.
I'll keep increasing.
Yes.
So it dawned on me one day. I don't know about you. You guys are sharp and smart. Sometimes it takes me a little bit, right? I'm not saying I'm dumb. I'm just saying, you know, you guys are smart. It dawned on me. If I'm not increasing like I think I should be, what do you think that means?
I'm looking in my past.
I'm looking back.
Because
if I'm not looking back, then the Word says, as I'm following Him, I'm getting more light. I am increasing.
That's good.
So then I have to discover, oh, I see. If I'm boldly to go when no man's gone before, Star Trek, right? They're not looking back where man has gone before. If God says, I'm going to bring you into a new land, what does that mean? That means it's new to you. See, no reason for you to keep looking back.
That's good.
At the onion or the garlic. Or I have this garden. You know, can you imagine? I can see the slave. I have this garden in the bathtub in our little, you know, our little slave quarters. It was in this 4-inch pot. Man, I could grow some onions in that thing. And then the guy's giving them acres and acres. And like, oh, they like what I had. I had this 4-inch pot, and that thing was massive. I could grow. And he's like, I'm giving you all this land as far as your eyes can see.
Wow.
And he keeps looking back.
Wow.
So if we're looking back, we don't receive the light. Not that the light's not there, but we're not on that lighted path so that we can increase like we want. See, he's talking about increase, and it wasn't automatic. But how, you know, you got, say, I'm looking at Star Trek, it wasn't all easy, though, for those guys. Can you put up my... They had some enemies, like you do. They had Kong, right here, the Klingon. Subtle, sneaky, kind of looks a little bit like a devil. He's trying to keep them from boldly going where they haven't gone before. Right? He's the enemy. He's the Klingon. You have an enemy. Okay, you can take him down. We're going to get you. But you also have an enemy. The devil.
Yes.
He's trying to hinder you and keep you from boldly going where you haven't gone before.
That's right.
And one way he does that is to try to get you to look back.
That's right.
To look in the past.
Yes.
Now, to show you an example, you remember the story of Lot and his wife?
Yeah.
God said, I am taking this city down.
Yeah.
I want you to get out. Don't look back. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go forward.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't look back, but she did.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah, she turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to the city.
Yeah.
But that's where her heart was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you looking at something, she's longing for it.
Wow.
She's not longing for the new plan.
Mm.
Right? Not having faith in what God's going to do or what he wants to do. She's what? Looking back. Star Trek. Faith is to boldly go where you haven't gone before.
Mm.
To seek, take steps.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to increase.
Yes, yes.
Not decrease.
Yeah.
God's never about decreasing except sin, unbelief, and doubt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's always to come counter that. He increases your faith. In your joy.
Amen.
Right? So, we see that God wants us to what? Increase.
Yes.
To do better.
Yes.
To keep going. The way you get there is to look ahead. Don't look back.
Yeah.
Don't go, oh, I missed that. Well, that's good. That was then. You know, I don't miss. There's some things, you know, you can like. Oh, I remember that was nice. But I'm not going to want anything down on the earth compared to heaven. You know, I had this one house, it was nice. I don't know if I want my mansion in heaven because that house was nice. Jesus, don't come for a long time so I can enjoy my house down here. That's wrong thinking.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So let's look at another scripture. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12.
Mm. That's good.
Hebrews 12. Look at verse 14.
Yes.
While you're turning there, this reminds me. You remember the story of the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus?
Yeah.
And he says, Master, what do I need to do? Now, what do I need to do means future.
Yeah.
Not what do I need to done. Which is past. He said, what do I need to do to what?
Inherit.
To inherit eternal life.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, you know, follow the commandments, do this and that. And he says what? All these things I have done.
Yeah.
So in following Jesus and his word, he what? Increased.
Right.
Following?
Yeah.
I've been following what you said and I've been doing great.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said, one thing you lack, sell what you have, give to the poor. Follow me.
Yeah.
Right? Take up your cross. Follow me.
Yeah.
And it says he went away very what? Sorrowful. Because he had great riches. But it wasn't the riches that was really what was important. It was what? It was Christ. Because if he's still following him, he's still going to increase.
That's right.
Yes. Amen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Have you ever had something you wanted so bad you trade everything for it? Someone said no. There's things I think I want that, and I could sell this and I could sell that and I could get enough money together, and I want it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife, maybe she wants a ring. She don't care if kids eat or anything. I want a ring. Peanut butter and jelly for a year. So I want my ring. We'll believe the Lord later for them, but I want my ring. Well, maybe not for a year, right? Anyway. But you know, you want something really bad. Mm-hmm. And when you get it, does it make you sad? You think, I wish I would have never done that. Oh, I wish, you know, no. If you really think it's valuable,
yeah,
you're happy with the deal.
Yes.
Right? You know, if I really wanted something, especially as a kid, I would save my allowance and, you know, want this toy or that toy or whatever. Mm. And it didn't matter how much it cost. I would shovel snow to earn money to go buy a toy that I really wanted. I didn't look at it like, I got to shovel all this snow. This is so hard. I didn't think of it that way. I mean, I get that money. You know, sometimes people only pay me $1. I'm like, I'm going to put some snow back on your yard. I'm going to put some snow back on your driveway. You owe me much more than that. But it didn't matter the cost because I really wanted it.
Yeah.
I didn't cry over how much it was costing me. Because I recognized what? The value in my mind of what I was getting.
That's right.
That meant more to me. And if we recognize the value of heaven,
yeah,
we won't feel bad about anything we have to sacrifice here on earth.
That's right.
Or that we give up to gain heaven.
That's good.
You know, we're not losing something. When the Bible talks about the pearl of great price, people sold everything because they wanted that pearl. Right?
Right.
You're like, I don't care what I got to sell. I want that. I want that pearl. And they didn't cry when they got the pearl. Mm. They did what? They rejoiced. They were happy to do it.
Yes.
They went, look what I got. Look what I got, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They longed for that.
Mm.
Because that was something that they were looking at that. They were longing for it because it meant something to them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Here, Hebrews 12 says this. And this is how, because we all want to increase. Nobody wants to decrease.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you looking at? Don't look at the past. Because the past, see, the enemy, he wants you to think the past is your destiny. Mm-hmm. He substitutes a plan in your mind. You think this is God's plan of failure and defeat, mm-hmm, and blah. No. But he wants you to take that, like, that thought, like this is God's plan. Just like the children of Israel did. You know, today we'd say, well, why are you serving God? It ain't gonna pay. It ain't no point. It's a waste of time. I'd stay home. Mm. I'd do this. Mm. I'd do that. You just don't recognize the value of serving the Lord.
Mm.
Amen? You're laboring. You're doing something that won't be forgotten.
No, it won't.
Forever.
That's right.
Amen? It'll be remembered forever what you do for Him. And if you value that, you think, oh, I get it. I get it. You know what? You would want to do whatever you could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody has to talk to you about it, like try to trick you. You know, like sometimes people in a church, oh, we all please help us. Somebody please help. Please. I don't care. Just please help us. We're in desperate need. And then you think, well, okay, I'll go help the church because I got to. Nobody else will. The problem with that is you don't see the value. And there's no reward.
No.
There's no reward.
No reward.
And that's why David said, if I could just be a doorman
yes.
in the house of God.
Woo.
Yes.
That, ooh, you're talking about, I get to be
yes.
the doorman.
Yes, yes.
Because I value
yes.
that, because that will never go away.
No.
He said, I'd rather live as a doorman in the house of God than in the top floor of the Trump Towers. Because mm. that's going to pass away.
That's going to pass away.
But my doorman duties,
woo.
That lasts forever. Yeah, I get to see everybody. I'm famous. I'm the most famous doorman. You understand. But look at Hebrews 12. Verse 14 and verse 15. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many may be what? Defiled. Mm-hmm. You notice it says, looking carefully. It means follow peace, look to follow peace, long for that, and holiness. Keep your eyes on those things that are forward, not on what's in the past, right? And then Hebrews 12:2, and then we'll close with this. We're supposed to be looking ahead.
Yeah.
Looking diligently ahead. Not in the past, but looking ahead. Not in the past. Look at Hebrews 12. It says, looking unto who? Unto Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. He's on the cross. At that time, we celebrated that event, but he's no longer there. It says he's seated with at the Father's right hand. And we're seated with him.
That's
and
right.
And notice the word looking means what?
Forward.
A continual forward.
Yeah.
Make progress. Take a step forward. Keep going forward.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't stop. Even if it's a baby step. Keep stepping what?
Forward.
So you can boldly go where nobody in your family has ever gone before in God. And you pave the way. Right?
Amen.
Looking onto Jesus.
Yeah.
Who is he? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah. Who, for the joy that was set what? Before him. So he was looking ahead too.
Mm-hmm.
He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Same thing we do. We are what? Looking ahead. Endure the cross. The things that happen in our life. We despise the shame. People call you name. Do whatever. Ain't bother me. Right? Because I'm looking to him. I'm looking ahead. And as we look ahead, we follow his path, we get more what? Light. We get more light. Light brings what? Increase in our life.
Yeah.
It says that the light of the path of the righteous, the light shines brighter and brighter. Ooh. More and more. So if we're not getting, listen to this, if we're not getting the increase in a specific area, that means in that area, we need more what? Light.
Right.
So if we need more light, then we don't want to, okay, and if I know what I'm looking at determines if I get light or not, then maybe I'm looking behind me in that area, which I shouldn't be doing. So I need to change my focus to look to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get what? Increase.
Yeah.
An increase may not happen as much as, you know, I'm going to believe God for all this. Okay, but it may come in increments. That's why they call it increase. Increments, right? So it's a process. But you recognize if I'm suffering from something, I need increase in this area. All that means for me, I got to get my eyes back on the Word and follow His path. And keep looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. I'll have it if I keep looking to what? To Him.
Amen.
Because when I'm looking to Him, I'm looking to heaven, I'm longing for Him.
Yes.
I keep my heart protected.
Yes.
Not like Lot's wife who looked behind her.
Mm.
Don't love the world. How do you know you live in the world? When you're looking at the world all the time. Amen?
Mm.
This is why to have Star Trek faith, to boldly go where no one's gone before, you need to be looking ahead. Making progress. Take a step. Increase in the direction following the Lord. Because you got Klingons out there, spiritual Klingons, who are trying to hurt you and slow you down and keep you from boldly going where no one's gone before. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, I've already got through this universe. I know how it goes. Keep your eyes on me. You'll get more and more light.
Yeah.
Don't look backwards.
Yeah.
Look ahead.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Don't plan to fail. Plan to what? Increase.
Yes.
Keep moving forward.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to close with that.
Amen.
And let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word that, in a sense, Lord, our faith should be boundless. Because with you, all things are possible. That in you, we can go where we've never been before.
Amen.
By looking ahead, taking steps in that direction to follow you. Because your word says, as we look to you, we follow your path, you bring us more light and you increase us.
Mm.
And we just thank you for that. Help us to remain focused on you, on your plan. It's a good plan.
Yeah.
We just have to trust you. Not like the children of Israel when you brought them out of Egypt. They ceased to look ahead and they started to look back and you were not pleased with them. But Lord, we won't look back. We'll look ahead. We'll look on to Jesus, the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get ready to take up our offering. Brother Tony?
Good morning. Does everyone need an envelope?
Yes.
This nondescript person on the first row. Star Trek reference is great. What I wanted to look at for offering is out of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I think it's very much relevant because God is building his temple.
Yes.
And we are his temple. The Bible says, know you not that you are the temple. And God is building us up. I always like to read about David, and one of the things that always sticks out to me about David is that God said David was a man after my own heart.
Yes.
So anytime I look at anything that mentions David, I'm like, okay, God, what is it? What is it in him that made him a man after your own heart? But this is they're rebuilding the temple, and he's passing on getting ready to pass on his crown to his son Solomon. And he says, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself.
Mm.
And what God is doing here is not for just mere people. Mm. What God is building in us is for him.
Mm.
What he is doing here in this church. And I like that he says God has clearly chosen him as the next king of Israel, because I think when we walk with God, there's not any coincidence. So it's not a coincidence that it's this group of people right here ministering in this way. God has put us here. He has clearly chosen us here to build a church here.
Mm.
And it's amazing how much they gave, but it's not so much amazing how much they gave, but like Joe was talking about last week, the attitude and the heart with which they gave.
Mm.
I mean, it's a tremendous amount. I figured it up just because I like to. David by himself, out of his own wealth, gave $7.3 billion to build the temple. God has no problem with us being wealthy.
Wow.
But after they gave all of it, you go to verse 9 and you look at their reaction to what they gave, because they knew what they were doing and they knew what they were giving to. It says, the people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all kings. Wealth and honor come from you alone. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you gave us first. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord, our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and you rejoice when you find integrity there.
That's good.
You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched over your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. And it's just like what Joe was talking about, that God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
God loves for us to give with a joyous heart.
Yes.
Because we know that everything we have is from God.
Yeah.
We know that our God will provide everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
My God shall provide all my need according to his riches.
Yeah.
And it's just the heart that he gave with, and the heart that they gave with, knowing that they were building something greater than themselves, that it wasn't for mere mortals, that it was for the God that they served, the God that they loved, the God who continues to rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
And just the gratefulness that you were talking about is, you know, it's such a key in our giving. I think that is how we reap from what we sow,
mm-hmm.
is when we give with a willing heart and a grateful heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together in your name. We thank you for the freedom to gather together in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you that you have provided everything for us, that you constantly give to us, that we are looking forward so that you can constantly increase us. Lord, and I just thank you that people are giving out of a joyful, willing heart this morning, that you will multiply this to continue to build us up as your temple, to continue to build us up as your church, so that we can reach everyone that you have called us to reach. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Tell
me.
1 Chronicles chapter 29.
You know, what if, think about this, you notice how it said up there, O Lord our God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts and the hearts of your people.
Mm-hmm.
What if, like, there was a limit to what you could give? Like, you know, if I said, if there was a company that was just starting, some organization, and they said, we need to raise $100,000, or, you know, whatever, $1 million, $10 million, whatever. And this company will last forever. But it's limited. But you can't, when we get this amount, it's done. It's limited. But it's going to last forever, and everybody will know you, and you're going to last forever. And you'll get benefits from this company forever. You know, on the internet, it would crash because so many people would be trying to give, right? You know, say, okay, it's going to start at 1 p.m. on this day. It's going to open up for trading.
Mm.
And we only can take $10 million. This company lasts forever. And if you get in this company, you'll last forever. People would be like,
yeah.
I got to get in there. I'm going to give. And they ain't going to be sad about it.
Mm-mm.
Right? Knowing that what you have won't last forever. What you invest in down here won't last forever. But in the kingdom of God, what you put in your heart, what's about, I want to give this to you. He'll receive it. You give with the right heart, joy, man, I get to do that. That lasts forever. Think about that. That's an investment. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to last forever. And he said here, I just saw it when Tony was talking. Praise the Lord. That this may last forever in their hearts.
Mm.
Even when you're in heaven, man, God moved on me and I got to give freely with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I'm not talking the amount. That's between you and him. The attitude of what we give. I could give a dollar and give it mean. You know what I'm saying? Here's your dollar.
Yeah.
I got to tip that guy. I don't want to, but I will. Ain't going to help.
No.
You understand? It's with the heart, the attitude. So I know we got good hearts. Amen?
Amen.
We got to maintain them. So that's the thing. All right. Any announcements?
No.
Yeah. All right.
Youth this Friday.
We got youth this Friday. So youth, any youth in here? I'm one. A couple. Got one there.
Yeah.
Your youth, oh,